It's me again, welcoming you to yet another thrilling episode of the Squash with Mabel. How you doing? Hope your week has been amazing. Do not forget to subscribe, like, and comment on Breaker or whatever podcast app you are listening on. Hit the favorite button so you can keep updated whenever I release an episode. A quick recap. Last week, Ife and I we talked about self-awareness. Know your strengths and your weaknesses. Know your flaws. Know yourself inside out. Do not overstress, okay? This week's episode is mental health. And joining us on the show is Nicholas Natale, all the way from California. Nicholas is going to share his experience and how he battled with depression at a tender age, and also how he was able to keep his mental health in check. You know, keep the balance between being sane and not being sane. So guys, you know the drill. If you're listening alone, you are doing it wrong, baby. Tell your friends, tell your lovers, tell your haters to listen to the podcast. And do not go anywhere. We'll be back in a few. You do not want to miss out on this episode. Mwah.
Call me baby if you need a friend. I just wanna give you love. Come on, come on, come on. Reaching out to you, so take a chance. No matter where you go, no, you're not alone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing.
Welcome back, guys. Still on the topic mental health, and I remain your very own Noble Benita. Today on the show with us is Nicholas Natale. Nicholas is talking to us from California. Nicholas, it is an honor having you on the show. Thank you for honoring my invitation. How are you doing?
Be here, I think that so. Thanks for having me on.
So what's the weather like over there? What's the weather?
Oh man, and so it's a beautiful 65, nice and sunny. Yeah, no complaints out here right next to the beach, so it's very nice. What about you, weather over there?
It's hot. It's really hot. Yeah, over here it's hot, even at night. It's, well, it is what it is. We're good. All right, so without further ado, we'll start right into it. So mental health, when you hear the term mental health, what comes to your mind? What's the first thing that just pops?
The first thing that comes to my mind is I almost think there's two halves of it. Like I think medication or prescription to get through something like this. But on the flip side, I think there's many of us who are just under the daily stress of life. So when we go to work and we, you know, our family and things get busy, especially during the holidays, and there's a lot of stress on us, we neglect ourselves, at least, and always have a hard time I'm valuing relationships. So to me, it kind of, the first thing that comes to mind is balance and how the majority of us, myself included, struggle with this idea that taking care of our mental health is also something that's productive for us, something that is going to benefit us in the long run. So even if it means I need to take a break, I'm getting burned out, or I feel overwhelmed, it's time to acknowledge those feelings, emotions, thoughts, and be aware that we're under stress and address them rather than push through it and continue to go to our daily jobs or our work. And it's almost like refusing to ignore yourself that something is wrong. That's kind of what mental health is in my mind right now, because it's easy to stuff down. Yeah. Stuff it down and not have to really care for yourself.
All right, cool. Okay, so next question is this: what factors influence our mental health? Like, what are the things that actually, you know, we need to take a break, and what stuffs actually influence our mental health?
What affects our mental health? I think it's time management is a big one, because most of our days, at least for myself, once again, is filled with work. There's not any time to sit and reflect on huge indication that we off, that something is awry. You know, something isn't exactly the way it should be. Something feels a little bit off. And our body kind of gives us those signals. Like, I notice when I'm either, if I'm uncomfortable with something, I sit more close. My shoulders become closer to my chest. And that's an indication to me that, oh, I'm, the fact that I'm uncomfortable with something right now. And I think in many other circumstances, like, our body will just have a natural fatigue that we'll ignore. So the physical side of mental health is also your body gives you indicators. You know, anxiety that is being pressed upon you, you some really. And I think I like to do this thing where if I'm trying to be more focused on the present moment, I will try to point out five things that are in the room physically present with me here now. And something that we can do for our physical bodies is, okay, how is my body feeling right now? And what emotions are affecting that? So I think that's a huge indicator of just like in the daily sense, managing your mental health and taking a check of, okay, my body's giving me a sign that something's a little off right now.
Okay, I get. Reading your bio, yes, you said you've fallen into depression at one point, right? Okay, so what led to that, and how did it affect you mentally, like for it to get to that sinking state, and how did you come out of that?
I think I've had two. I struggled with depression quite a bit to the point where I was suicidal when I was about 16 in high school, and a lot of it was around the idea of identity. So growing up, and I see them today, growing up, I grew up a Christian, and there was people in my life that were living hypocritically that were proclaiming the Christian faith, right? And so my whole viewpoint of what Christianity was and how, like, is God real, this whole sense of purpose like became shattered. And here's the biggest thing that drew me to it, because on one side, you can either fully commit to something or you can fully not commit to something, but being stuck in the middle is the worst place to be. I always imagine like sitting on a fence with both your legs are spread on both sides, and it's the most uncomfortable thing you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
So I was sitting on this fence, to say metaphorically, whether to commit to Christianity or to, you know, just disband this idea of God overall. And that left me with zero purpose because, you know, I could get purpose from living for God, right, and pursuing holy things and things like that, or I could find satisfaction in temporary things, and that would have brought me some temporary happiness, and I would have been happy to say, you know, maybe not joy, but being stuck in the middle of something left me with zero purpose and nothing because I had nothing to rely on. And I fell into this depression because obviously if you have nothing to live for, it's a dark place to get to. And eventually I came out of it by making the commitment to give my life to Christ and fully live for him and all of those good things. But while I was in it, the thing that was scariest to me when I reflect is how much masking is involved. And what I mean by that is, like, faking it to your friends or your family members that everything is fine when on the inside you're saying the worst things about yourself. You are the most critical on yourself, the most critical of everything you do, so sensitive to the fact of, like, every time you do something, it's probably wrong, all of this stuff. And I think we lose sight of how much power there is in vulnerability. Going to your friends, talking with your family, and saying, I mean, it's not going to be easy, don't get me wrong, and saying, this is where I'm currently living at. Like, and be, like, as honest as it is, because for me, it was a personal hell, you know? Like, I'm living in this personal hell, and I am not expecting you to solve all of my problems, but I need you to know. Because we always feel like we're a burden on people. But in fact, if you are surrounded with a good group of people, good friends that care about you, they want to be like, okay, like, let's figure this out together. And that was one of the biggest contributors in me also coming out of depression.
So communication helped. First topic on mental health was communication. You know, a friend of mine, I invited her to the show, and we're like, actually talking to people about this stuff help. But then again, you mentioned being surrounded with the right people. That can also play a major factor. And people might judge what you can actually say. So it still boils down to being surrounded with the right people. Then again, last week we talked about self-awareness. You actually have to accept the fact that you have this problem. You have to know the problem to actually be able to provide solutions. Right. Okay, so your last podcast, or the last one I listened to, you said age is not, you said something regarding age and it not being a factor, yes. Now, there are a lot of people, especially, let's say, when you get to mid-20s, yes, and they're things that we've not been able to accomplish, as in marriage, you've not gotten your dream job, and yeah, so we are challenged with that. We have that affecting our mental health on a daily basis, you know, when there are so many expectations and there are so many responsibilities. Now, how do we manage all that and still keep sane at the same time?
Done, man, of deep research, that's awesome. As far as age goes, so as you grow with age, in my mind, you have to take the perspective of, I've lived a lot of life and learned a lot of things and have a lot of experience to accomplish the things that I want to do. There isn't anything within my current tool set, so to speak, that is preventing me from pursuing these things. And if there is something that we think, like, we don't have the network connections or have the capital, that making an excuse because we're actually insecure about our age is no reason not to pursue the things we want to pursue.
Okay, so with putting age in context, yes, you said you've had 10 failed businesses, or you're approaching 10 failed businesses. How did that make you feel? dealing with, you know, having your parents to please and you as yourself and, you know, being in the midst of friends that actually, you know, they're excelling in their own things, but you're here having one failed business over the other. How did you, you know, how did you get across that?
Yeah, I think the big for me is perspective and mindset on these sort of things. So with every business that's failed, of course it's a bummer. Of course I would love for them to all be successful. But at the same time, every time I'm failing, I am learning a considerable amount. And I know it's only a matter of time before all of this wisdom from these things is going to play a factor into why my next business is successful. And I think as far as like the people to me, one, like we already stated, I think surrounding yourself with people that are going to support you through these failures is crucial. But on the second hand, I think there's a lot of time if people are influencing you with their opinions and they're not at a better place than you, they are usually not even in your field, they usually don't even have your expertise, allowing their opinions and their thoughts to influence your decision whether to continue to try to make your business or your next business a success is a terrible idea. Because at the end of the day, when, you know, we come to pass, we all have these dreams inside of us that we want to. It's going to be responsible at the end of the day for your own business being created, your business plan being executed, not them. They can talk all they want. They can say anything they want, and you can have as many failures as. So when you do pursue a business or a dream, it's not. And the way you ensure your success in anything in life is to, one, not stop, and to, two, improve bit by bit every time you do it. So let's say you do start a business and you go into business and somebody else goes into business. The other person goes into business, tries it for a year, and it was mildly successful, and then they stopped. And then you tried it for a year, didn't have the same success, but you came back the second year. Try a little harder. Third year, you know, you try a different strategy. Fourth year, you learned from the past 3 years and you're finally getting some success rolling. It takes time. It takes effort, and it takes most of all persistence. Like, stopping while you are on the course is the easiest way to get hit by the golf cart. I don't know if that's a great metaphor, but the point being is, you can't allow other people to make your decisions for you. And the only way to ensure your business is going to grow is you get rid of the excuses that age is a factor and you just keep doing it. Don't let anything stop you.
So where would you say you are right now mentally? Where would, as far as your mental health is concerned, where would you say you are?
That's a great question. At the beginning of 2018, I had a relapse of depression. I had set out this goal to pay off $60,000 of student loans in a year, and I did it. I did it in 11 months. I lived in a car, and I lived minimalistically, and when I finally got it, it was almost like the same thing of I no longer had this purpose, this thing that I was working toward every day. I lost the purpose. And I was really distraught over that, and it was because I wrapped my identity in it. So since then, I've kind of realized that your identity can't be your goals, because the goal is to accomplish them. So as soon as you do, your identity goes away, and it's stripped from you. So right now, in the current state of the world, my mental health is really, one, focused on many of us have time. So it's focused on self-reflection. It's focused on trying to understand what things are going to bring long-term fulfillment, which the easiest answer is relationships, like the people in our lives, the people that care about us, the people we care about. That's what's going to bring fulfillment for the long term. So I think my mental health is currently at a place where prioritizing things that truly matter and still being able to chase goals is the fine line that I'm trying to walk on.
Okay, cool. You mentioned self-reflection. Now, in our bid to self-reflect, you know, sometimes it gets scary when you end up opening boxes that you do not want to open. But how do we still consciously know when we're losing it? Okay, this is the point where I have so self-reflected and I need to, you know, just take a break. So is that possible, or we just let it flow, just self-reflect wherever it leads?
I think we do everything in phases and seasons almost. Like, I think a large part of self-reflection for me is being present, and because I have a tendency to focus on the future, my mind is always focusing on, like, what can I achieve tomorrow? What can I do tomorrow? And I never go back and process those things. And a lot of times we have busy seasons where it's a blur and we're working. And then I think after a season like that, it's good to slow down and process things, because you don't want to over self reflect and not live your life and overthink everything you're doing. But I think a safe place to start is just asking the question, like, do I know myself? You know, like, do I spend time with myself? Can I be comfortable being alone? And once you're able to, like, sit in a room by yourself for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, X amount of time that it is for you, and still be comfortable, I think that's a safe place to be like, okay, now I can take my foot off. Concern I would have is never self-reflecting and losing self-awareness, because it's a great benefit to actually know your strengths and weaknesses. I'm more of a firm believer that we should always double down on our strengths. I mean, we have God-given gifts and abilities, and it's important to focus on those, because that's where we're going to get exponential growth. And that's where people need our help in, you know, that's where we're called to serve other people, is through our strengths. So that's a long-winded answer of it doesn't ever stop, but it's okay if it slows down.
Okay. Amazing. So before we wrap up, you said you had the passion started when you were 16, when you were struggling with the conviction either to, you know, acknowledge God or just leave it as it is. So what was the landmark or the trademark? What made you convict? Let me put it like that. What, you know, strengthened your conviction that, okay, yes, I'm going to acknowledge that there is a supreme being? And what, you know, drove you to that?
I think it was really just a lot of time and prayer and asking for forgiveness and trying to understand that God, the core of God is grace. So I can't earn my way to God's approval. I can't earn my way to heaven. And I think a lot of what I was trying to do by, you know, deciding my identity was feeling like I had to earn it, and realizing that God loves me. And here's a basketball metaphor. God would rather have me playing the game and make a few mistakes so he can allow me to grow. And grow with me, than me to sit on the bench and never realize in doing life with God is far greater than anything that I could have done for myself, right? Like, I can't put beautiful plans into motion. I can't plan that God would have me and you chatting here on a Zoom, you know, 6-7 years from that point in my life. It's like God orchestrated in the best way possible. So I think the defining factor was realizing that having a relationship with God was far better than not having anything or anyone.
Lastly, what's your advice to people having mental health disorders, let me put it like that? People struggling with finding a balance, people struggling to finding that break, that spare time to just meditate, let it all out. What is your advice to them? What are you telling the people listening today?
My first thoughts are to not let shame override you. There's nothing to be shameful about. And secondly, you're not a burden to anybody. Feeling those things, having whatever you're going through, you are not a burden on other people. You are incredibly loved. You are incredibly worthy of life. And this world needs you. That's what I would say to start. You have a purpose in this world, and even if you don't know what it is right now, you have one. And you were created beautifully and loved and with so much care. But as far as advice goes, do not hesitate to reach out to someone you trust, even if it's just one person. Don't do this on your own. Community will get you through this, and having people that will have your back is so important. And for those of us that just struggle with balance and taking care of our stress in general, is have something that you like that helps you not think so much. Like, for me, I love playing basketball and playing pickup basketball with my friends because I don't have to think. I can just move my body and be there, be present, and have fun. And I schedule time for that. Scheduling time to get to know yourself, to have fun, is just as valuable as your work and anything else you could put in your life. Because a healthy you is much better than an overworked, unhealthy you who's cranky and mean to all of your friends. That would be my advice.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, guys, communicate, meditate, and then again, be self-conscious enough to know when you are going off the bridge. When it's getting too much, try and take a break. Be self-aware and also communicate. Your mental health is very, very important. No one is worth it. So just, you know, relax. You only got one life, man. It's just one. Enjoy it. Live it. You know, I talk to people, talk to someone, you can talk to me. Nibel is here like 24/7 based on, you know, now. But anyways, Nicholas, thank you so very much for lending us your time. Thank you so very much for sharing your experience with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful. You are a great host. I really appreciate the research you've done, and you're just a pleasure to talk to. So thank you for putting all this together. This has been awesome.
Thank you so very much. So, guys, do not forget to like, subscribe, and drop a comment.
Did I forget to wish you guys a happy new month? It's the month of Thanksgiving, and I am grateful. I am thankful. The pod is 7 months old, and for the remaining part of this month, I'm going to be giving a shout out to each and every person that stood by me on this journey so far, and I will keep bringing guests that will help you help us be the best version of ourselves and plan better, plan more for the new year. On that note, guys, happy December, and I love you. Mwah.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about